estate planning is something that everyone of all ages needs to worry about. And Bridget Finke is joining us now. She's with Valley Crossing Law Offices out of Baldwin. And Bridget, you usually talk to Bob about estate planning. And he's the older generation, you know, which is a big thing. You know, you need to focus on this. I'm about half of Bob's age. Is this something that my generation needs to start looking into, is estate planning already?
You know, you're never too young to think about estate planning. And in fact, really with younger people, planning ahead is almost more important in my mind, because when things happen in a younger person's life, often it's something sudden. It's more likely to be an accident or some sort of sudden health event, as opposed to with the older generation. You know, sometimes we start to have slow decline, and so we've got time to think about things and, you know, realize that we need to get documents in place. And so, you know, I really say you're never too young to estate plan. And I actually have some clients that it's the rite of passage for their kids, that the minute they turn 18, they get them into the office to put powers of attorney in place.
Oh, wow. At 18 already?
Right. Because once your kids become independent adults, you as a parent lose a lot of authority to do things to help them that they mm-hmm. probably want you to do. And so, you know, for instance, an 18-year-old goes off to college, but they still want mom and dad to be able to deposit money in their bank account,
yep.
right? And so having those powers of attorney, those during life documents, to facilitate having someone else help them with issues, or, you know, hey, what if they get in a car accident and there's decisions to be made and the kid is unconscious, you know, having that documented in place that the parents are able to step in and take care of those things on behalf of the child.
Now, me being in my mid-30s, mm-hmm. where should I be looking at estate planning right now? We got two kids at home, they're younger. Well, I guess what would be the first step if I were to come in and say, I need to get going on this, what mm-hmm. would I need to do?
Usually what I start with people is having them put together, you know, information about the family. So it's important for me to know you have kids, how old they are, and then a general picture of your assets. And, you know, a lot of times when people are younger, that asset list is much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, younger people are more likely to have significant life insurance because it's cheaper when you're younger. And you're often looking to protect, you know, if you and your spouse both work and you're relying on both your incomes to raise your kids, what would happen if something sudden happened and you were no longer there earning an income to replace that money for your spouse to be able to, you know, pay the mortgage, for instance, or pay off the mortgage. And so sometimes it's surprising, you know, where you don't think you have all that much wealth. But when you start thinking, boy, but if I pass away, you know, I've got $50,000 of life insurance from work. And then I have that $250,000 policy that we put in place to, you know, help with income replacement. And so that can really add up in a hurry. So then that gives us an idea just what we're dealing with. But then I would say in terms of for young families, the real important questions and tough questions sometimes that prevent people from coming in is, what happens if something happens to both of us?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to take care of the kids? And so that's picking guardians for your children. And a lot of times with young couples, I find that that's that decision, maybe him thinking it should be his family and her thinking it should be her family, is one of the things that keeps them from coming in to do the planning, because they can't get on the same page there. But would you rather compromise to a position, or would you rather leave it to chance once you're gone?
Well, and one thing I've heard other younger families do is they kind of split in a way. The kids will go to one side, but the financial security for the children goes to the other side. So that way, both sides of the family have to work together. Is that something you kind of work with too?
Yeah, and that's sometimes, you know, I can help talk people through. I mean, I'm never going to know your siblings or your parents as well as you do, but we can talk about the qualities of the people in these roles and what's most important. And sometimes that helps guide you to that decision. But that's where I always say, so, you know, you bring up the good point of then what happens to the money. And so in most cases, mom and dad aren't okay with those kids maybe getting, you know, that $250,000 in life insurance in their pocket when they're 18, because yeah, they might be, you know, good,
they're gonna spend it. They're well, going to spend it.
They might spend it on college tuition, or they might spend it on a really nice vehicle. And
for
so,
their friends and friends as friends.
Well, there's a way, you know, you see that suddenly they have lots of friends when people know they have lots of money in their pocket. And so often we are looking to set up a trust for them. So a way that those funds are set aside, they're not in that child's pocket, and instead they go through a gatekeeper or a trustee. So it's not as though the money's locked in a vault and not there available to get them raised, help pay for school, all those things that mom and dad would have done if they would have been around, but that's also not just sitting in their bank account or burning a hole in their pocket. And so it is really nice when, if you do have those two roles, I say there's some checks and balances, and then you do have two people that have a reason to be invested in your kid's life. Just helps protect against anything happening on either side of things, that you know that there's two sets of people checking in on things.
You know, what, talking about the financial side of things, I know you had talked to Bob a while back about setting up a checking account properly for power of attorney or even joint account. Now, let's say you set up the plan for a younger family and say, okay, in the event this happens, the money goes here. What if they rob you blind? Is that a possibility, or is there a way to set up to protect it where only for the children this can be used?
So you can never totally guard against, you know, people making wrong decisions. But what you can do is make sure that things are set up in a way that there's consequences to them if they do that. And so the thing that surprised Bob is, you know, a common thing for older folks is, you know, so your parents might decide to add you as a joint account holder on their bank account. And they're doing that for you to be able to do things for them. But by definition, those joint accounts, that's your money, and you've got no duty to use it for their benefit or to pay their bills. And so typically what I like to do is make sure that things are set up that that person you want to assist you has what's called fiduciary duties. And that's a big word that simply means that they have a duty to do what's in your best interest and to make good business decisions, not that they can just willy-nilly do whatever they want. And so utilizing powers of attorney, those come with fiduciary duties to the principal, the person who put that designation on, and trustees have fiduciary duties to the beneficiaries of the trust. So at least there are consequences. And so if they take that money and run, you know, they face some real legal penalties for that, as opposed to that joint account holder, no recourse.
So you could almost implement those fiduciary implements onto working with younger families and kind of setting up for, hey, I want you to use this money for my children in the event I can't.
Absolutely.
You can set that up as well.
And that's where, with that point in mind, you know, sometimes I'll have people say, well, we did our life insurance. We put my brother on as beneficiary because he's going to get the kids, and so we want him to have the money. The deal is, if you make him direct beneficiary, it's his money.
Yeah.
And he's got no duty to do that on behalf of the kids. And so that's where, you know, setting up that trust, making your brother trustee, make sure that he does have those duties to utilize those funds for your kids, not that he can utilize for himself, for his girlfriend, for his own kids. So there is that protection there.
Well, there's a lot of stuff to think about with this, and we're just kind of touching the tip of the iceberg here.
Absolutely.
So we're coming in, we're setting up our estate. Is there any way to make sure our kids are financially secure? You know, we have the life insurance, we set up the trustee. You know, what if they turn 21, 25, something happens to the trustee, and then what happens? Can you set brackets like at age 30, the kids will get this chunk, 40, and that way, do you eliminate the trustee that way and kind of give the power to the kids, but bracket it so they don't just go out and buy sports cars, snowmobiles, four-wheelers, and kind of prevent so they have a future?
Absolutely. So some parents, and this is where my having an idea of what the asset pool is makes a difference. You can imagine if you've got $5 million versus you've got $200,000, what makes sense as to how many distributions would vary. But you, as the person making this plan, can set up all those parameters. Do you want just all the funds held until your youngest child is 23 and then all the money gets distributed at once? Do you like the idea that each child has their own pot? So if one of them wants to go to a private college and spend more money, well, then they're going to get less money for other purposes versus the child who goes to public school and has less tuition? Or do you like the idea, hey, we want them all in one pot until they get to a certain age in case something happens, you know, they develop childhood cancer or something mm-hmm. crazy like that. Man, we would want that available before anybody gets to go and buy a new car. And so you can set all those parameters. And, you know, some parents like the idea of really spreading things out a long ways. And it is always nice when you're talking significant dollar amounts to let them learn from that first check.
Yep.
Because, man, when you're 18, $10,000 seems like a ton of money.
Oh, yeah.
And then as an adult, you realize how quickly $10,000.
It goes fast.
For sure. And so it is nice that they get more than one shot to learn from having those significant amounts of money.
So even when our kids turn 18, we are still in control if we plan our estate planning properly.
If you plan ahead. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to take control of that. I might be talking to you sooner than you think, Bridget.
Sounds good, Kristen.
That's Bridget Finke, an attorney with Valley Crossing Law Offices in the Baldwin area. And Bridget, I guess if people are interested in learning more about this, I guess how do we get in contact with you?
You can give us a call at 715-688-4045, or you can check us out on wisconsinfarmlaw.com.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Bridget.
Thank you.
I'm Kristen Smith from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire.